praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
I'm ready. Are you ready? Good morning, everybody. This is Bob Arthurs, Pastor of Merit Assembly of God, and you are listening to the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And if you do not know all of the various times that this program is available, allow me to bring some insight there as best I can. 8:30 of a morning and 5 o'clock of an evening, you will find the Refresh radio program right here on 91.5 FM. 10:30 of a morning, you can tune in to the AM dial, or there are some frequencies available on the FM dial also that depend upon where you are in the county. That is the WWBC 1510 AM frequency. And, you know, like I say, wherever you are in the county, that frequency may be a little bit different for your region than it is for other parts of the county. You can find it there. Also, WMIEFM.com. You can listen either live through the website. You can listen to it on demand. You can also listen live through an app called the TuneIn app, which is something that we have people that listen across the country. Believe it or not, there are people who listen to this program, which is done here in Brevard County. They listen to it in many different regions across the country. I have people that call me from other parts of the country and ask me to pray for them and things like that. And so if you have any prayer request, you can call and leave us a message, 321-454-4263, 321-454-4263. There's a 1 minute opportunity there for you to leave a message. You can call back and leave a longer message. You know, it's still a minute, but if you don't get everything in the first minute, you can call back again and leave another message. And we will pray for you. Our church is a church of prayer. We believe that God answers prayer, that he does great and mighty things. And so if you have prayer requests or praise reports, we would love to celebrate with you, love to pray with you, join with you, stand in faith with you, and so you can reach out to us in those endeavors. Do want to let you know that we are available Wednesday nights, 7 p.m., for adult Bible study and our youth service. We are available Sunday mornings, 9:30 for Sunday school, 9:30 for our worship service. Sunday nights, we have a prayer meeting, and that takes place at 6:30, and we would love to have you join us for any of those. So today, we're going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 28. Do want to let you know we have a men's breakfast that is coming up this week, and that'll be taking place at 8 o'clock of a morning Saturday in our fellowship hall. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing in that ministry. Guys, you do not need to be out there on your own. I want you to know you are not alone. You need to be in fellowship with other men. Iron sharpens iron. We call our men's ministry Iron Men because iron sharpens iron. My life is better because of the men of Merit Assembly of God. And, you know, if you want to help make my life better by being one of the men of Merit Assembly of God, we welcome you into that. Know this, that it's not a one-way relationship. We want to make you the best man that you can be as well. Ladies, we also have a tremendous ladies ministry. My wife heads that up. It's called Women of Worth, or WOW. And that has been going on for quite some time. And when my wife gets a seed planted inside of her by the Spirit of God, I'm telling you, she becomes quite driven about ministering to those ladies. She works a full-time job, so she may not get to do a lot of the things other people get to do, but she has a passion for women becoming all that they can be to the glory of God. So let's go back to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And we're going to read beginning with verse 1 today. It says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valleys, to those who are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord has a mighty and strong one, like a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, like a flood of mighty waters overflowing, who will bring them down to the earth where with his hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, will be trampled underfoot, and the glorious beauty is a fading flower, which is at the head of the verdant valley, like the first fruit before the summer, which an observer sees. He eats it up while it is still in his hand. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people, for a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment, and for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue he will speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear.' But the word of the Lord to them, or the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men who rule this people who are in Jerusalem. Because you have said, 'We have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge passes through, it will not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood we have hidden ourselves.' Therefore, thus says the Lord God, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. The hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled, and your agreement with Sheol will not stand. When the overflowing scourge passes through, then you will be trampled down by it. As often as it goes out, it will take you, for morning by morning it will pass over, and by day and night it will be a terror just to understand the report." So yesterday we were talking about the crown of pride and the crown of glory. We were talking about fading beauty versus a diadem of beauty. And so today I want to pick up in verse number 5. And it says this: "In that day, the Lord of hosts will be for a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people." What does life look like when God comes into your life? Now, you think, why are we here? We're supposed to be talking about seeking justice. We are. We're going to get there. There's actually a couple of different references here in Isaiah chapter 28. But I want to give you the full context of what is going on here. And so what God promises through Isaiah is this: no matter what things look like on a societal level, that there is nothing that will hinder God from doing something wonderful in your life, even though devastating things could be taking place on a national or on a citywide level. Okay? That was what was being described here with the woe portion of verses 1 through 4. But when all of that attack, which would be coming upon Samaria from Assyria, when all of that was going on and there was devastation, God says, I'm still God. And in the day that the Assyrians are doing this, and the arrogant are experiencing this, and the beautiful are becoming more and more fading as the days go by, in that day, I'm still God. A lot of people, their faith is pretty sensitive. And what I mean by that is whenever something doesn't go right, they want to know, what's going on here? We're not used to this. I want you to know that God is God of the mountains. He is God of the valleys. He is God of seed time. He is the God of harvest. He is the God of the rainy season. And he is the God when the rains are not coming as frequently as they were. He is the God of the good times, and he is God in the challenging times as well. Don't have a fragile faith. Have a fortified faith in who God is. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is never moved from his throne. He is never threatened. Unlike David, who, when under attack, had to abandon the city of Jerusalem and regroup because of Absalom's rebellion, God never moves off of the throne. He's always been king. He's always been sovereign, always been self-existent, and he always will be. Okay? So, in that day when everything is, when judgment is coming, because of the sin of idolatry, the sin of pride, the sin of drunkenness that was going on, and everything that was beautiful, all of a sudden it doesn't look nearly as beautiful. God says, in that day, to the remnant of my people, I will be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. Had a person ask me one time, they said, Pastor Bob, this goes back 25 years, why is everything so difficult at Merit Assembly of God? And my answer wasn't anything that I'd really prepared in advance for that. It was a conversation we were having. We had gathered for prayer. And I said, well, and I still remember the person who asked me this question. And I said, you've got to understand that sometimes the most beautiful things are found in the most difficult places to reach. They are formed under pressure. Okay? And if you think that I'm just making that up from the natural, I want you to know the Garden of Gethsemane was a place. Gethsemane means the olive press. It was the olive was what they made the anointing oil out of. It was the primary ingredient of the anointing oil. Wasn't the only ingredient, but it was the primary. And the only way for that anointing to come out was when there was a great deal of pressure placed on the olive, and it brought out the most beautiful oil that you could imagine. There are olive trees that are hundreds and sometimes thousands of years old that are still producing great blessing. Okay, but in order for that to happen, it has got to go through a very painful process, but it's worth it. It's worth it. When you are going through a difficult time, allow God to bring beauty out of you. I've heard it said that trying times don't change our behavior. They reveal our innermost secrets. So when you're going through a trying time, allow that difficult season to cause Jesus to come shining out of your life. Allow the beauty of God, the grace of God, to rise to the surface. So it says, to the remnant of his people, he is going to be a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty. I want you to see, it's not going to be something that he produces in you. It's who God will be to you during that difficult time. Okay? The second thing, there are three things here in verses 5 and 6 that it says that God, the Lord of hosts, will be during that day. The second is this, he will be a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. Now, I don't know how many are familiar with the concept that Jesus is not just our Savior, Jesus is not just our Lord, he is also our advocate. He is our attorney. He represents us in the throne room of heaven, where the devil brings accusation against us, and nowhere in Scripture does it say that the accusations that Satan brings are necessarily false. You know, it's one thing to bring a false accusation. It is another thing entirely for the thing that you have been accused of to have been forgiven. Every president has the ability to pardon. Every one of them. They can commute a sentence, or they can pardon and expunge the record entirely, in which case, it is as if the person never committed the crime at all. And every president utilizes that. And every time that a person is from the opposing party, they look and say, how dare them use that authority for such a person as this? They are always looking for the worst. Well, I want you to know something. Paul said he was the chiefest of sinners. You know what Jesus did for him? He said, I have taken the sins that you have committed when you were granting approval for the death of the disciples, when you were persecuting the saints, dragging them off to jail, and having them try and deny the Lord Jesus Christ. When you did all of that to my people and I took it personally, that's why Jesus said on the road to Damascus, why are you persecuting me? He said, I'm going to forgive you of your sins, even though Paul said I was the chiefest of sinners. Okay? So everybody has that's presidential has the ability to pardon. Did you know that you have the ability to forgive? The Bible says that you not only have the ability, you have the responsibility to forgive. That if we do not forgive, that we will not be forgiven. And the reason for that is because the things that others have done to us are much less impactful than the things that we did against God. You say, well, you didn't do anything. Oh, yes, I have. I've neglected him. I have not always honored him. There are a whole lot of things. There are a lot of failures. And if we're not careful, we'll remember the failures more than we will remember the successes. Okay? Quite frankly, I would rather my testimony be that I got saved as a child and God has kept me saved and has kept me growing and kept me thriving and pressing forward in my relationship with him. Okay? God says, to those who sit in judgment, I'm going to be the spirit of justice. I talked to you just a minute ago about Jesus being our advocate. Many times, attorneys know the letter of the law very, very well. God knows his system of justice better than the devil does. The scripture says that if they had known what God had in mind with the resurrection, they never would have crucified Jesus. God is infinitely smarter than the devil, infinitely more powerful than the devil, infinitely better than the devil. You don't want to have anything to do with the devil and his schemes, okay? So God says, I will be the spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. This is going to be contrasted with the people in authority who are intoxicated and are filled with error that we'll see here in verses 7 and on. God says, I'm going to be the spirit of justice. Not only is he going to know the letter of the law, but God is going to be the spirit of justice. Okay? So as much as we've been going through this, I want to say it over and over and over again. There will never be societal justice absent of God. That's why you have flawed justice systems wherever there is a communist situation or an atheistic government in place. So if you look at that, where people want to look as the government as God, there's never going to be a justice system. You will always find increasing levels of corruption there instead of increasing levels of justice. Justice comes from God. He does a work inside of us that is a spiritual work. That's what I also want to point out to you. Justice is not an action. It's not a philosophy. It is spiritual. Okay? So you will never accomplish establishing an effective justice system by the efforts of your flesh. It will never come about because of the efforts of your soul. It doesn't matter how emotional you are about it. It doesn't matter how intellectual you are. It has to be birthed out of the Spirit. And that comes when you have a relationship with the only God who in the universe who is just. Okay? And it says one more thing. In that day, the Lord of hosts will be, okay, one, a crown of glory and a diadem of beauty to the remnant of his people. Two, a spirit of justice to him who sits in judgment. And the third thing is, he says, in that day, the Lord of hosts will be for strength to those who turn back the battle at the gate. God's been dealing with me about the way society is changing, the way our community is changing. And when community changes, then the message doesn't change, but the method that we use is mandated by God. And so I want you to know what we need right now in 2021 is we need men of God. I'm not talking about pastors. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about we need men who know their God and can do great exploits. And we need women. We need women of valor. People say, well, wait a minute. Gideon was the one that was a man of valor. Well, Proverbs 31 is described as a woman of virtue, and it's the same word. It's a woman who is also unintimidated and unafraid to stand for that which is right. And so we need young people and we need older people. We need people that will say, you know what? God has strengthened me because he is the Almighty God, and he has positioned me at the gate. And I am going to stand my ground. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Stand, therefore, that you may be able to withstand. The thing is, when God has positioned you and you have a relationship with him and you know that he is your strength, You know that he is going to make you more than an overcomer. And so what we need people who God will embolden and encourage, who will stand and say, the enemy will not get past this point because God has strengthened me to turn the enemy back at the gate. It's not about what do you look like as far as your muscular system goes. It is what do you look like with your relationship with God and that strength that he bestows upon us that says, I am the one who rebukes the enemy. You know, there's a couple of times, and it's once in the Old Testament, once in the New Testament. The New Testament reference is in the book of Jude, and it describes people with their interactions with the devil, and it says this, both places, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. That's because there is not only authority, there's strength and power behind the authority to make that reality happen. The one in Jude talks about the battle over the body of Moses, the corpse of Moses. And Michael said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I want you to know that your family is worth fighting the fight of faith for. You're worth fighting the fight of faith for. But it's not going to be done with the fading beauty of carnal means. It's going to come because we have a relationship with God who is God not just of Sunday, but he's God of every day. And he will be the crown of glory and the crown of beauty. He is going to be the spirit of justice, but he is also, because he is a just God, he is going to be the God who strengthens his people so that the enemy does not succeed. The enemy will be repealed. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God has got enough strength to make you victorious. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.